30 years. I appreciate him and the stand that he takes. And I heard Brother Lonnie Burke say something one time about Brother Ellis that I've thought of so many times. And I've watched him since then. And he's one of the kindest and most gentle people you'll ever meet. And I've never heard him say a bad word or an unkind thing about anybody. And I tell you, that's a quality.
Yes, sir.
Brother Ellis was raised in a good family, good home, a good dad and mom. And he's a great man of God. And we're glad to have him here today. I know his heart's heavy because of his son, daughter-in-law that's sick. You pray for them.
Amen.
But he is the associate pastor of the P. Ridge Free Will Baptist Church. Would you make Brother Ellis welcome as he comes to preach for us?
Thank you. Thank you, Brother. Thank you very much. I am indeed blessed, Brother Johnny. Blessed more than some. Probably less than others. But I've got two great-grandchildren and one more on the way. And that's a blessing.
Amen.
Glad to have some folks from P. Ridge with us here. They're always here, camp meeting. They're very faithful. I was wondering, when Brother Mike started talking about me, I was wondering who he's talking about. But I looked around and I was the only Ellis here, so... I'll just visit with you a moment and try to get my nerves settled down. Brother Randy, I don't believe I could thread that sewing machine. I'm running faster than a sewing machine. But went to church for a little while, pastored a church for 8 years over at Hinesville, and there was one man over there named Ellis. That's, as far as I know, that's the only one I've ever, only other Ellis I've ever met and been in church with, at least. But he told a story one time about a little boy. And I'll share it with you, and then we'll get into the Word. He said the preacher went home with the family, and the little boy tried to get the preacher to come and eat supper. He said, "Son, I can't eat supper." He said, "If I eat supper, I can't preach." And so after the service, the little boy went by him and told him. He said, "The preacher said you might as well eat." So I think, I'll tell you, I didn't eat lunch today. I don't know if that'll mean anything afterwards or not. If you want to be turning to the book of Acts, the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, begin with the 28th verse. I've been preaching for, trying to preach for about 30 years now. Was a deacon for 20 years. I think every preacher ought to be a deacon for a little while. And I think every deacon ought to be a preacher for a little while. Gives you kind of an insight to both sides of it, Brother John Hooter. And heard a preacher one time really, he's running deacons down in his church. A young preacher. And I thought, boy, you'll learn someday deacons can be your best friend. And they ought to be. Amen? They ought to be. If they're not, there's a problem. There's a problem in the church. And I know many churches got many problems. If you would stand in reverence to the Word of God, I'll begin reading Acts, the 20th chapter, 28th verse. Read just about three verses or four. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears." As you remain standing, Brother Roy Helms, would you ask the blessing on this scripture?
Yes. The means of setting our hearts on fire, Lord, that we could leave here and that these things could break.
Pray for it.
Now bless Brother Ellis as he speaks to us, and we'll give you thanks for all it's done in Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. This thought came to me a few weeks ago after Brother Mike had called me, and I got to searching the Scriptures where it says, take heed. And Brother Jerry Sadler, I found out 68 times in King James Bible, it says, take heed. So I think the Lord must have something for us to look at here when he said, take heed. And you'll find it 28 times in the New Testament. And about 16 times in the three Scriptures, in the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So I think there must be something important here that Paul was speaking of here. Now remember, he was, if you look back in this chapter, you'll find that he was speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus. And he said, take heed. Now Saul was about ready to leave the scene here, and as we grow older, we realize that we don't have as much time on this earth, and things grow more important to us. The important things grow more important as we grow older. The little children are more important to us as we grow older. You'll find the little children a lot more precious. Great-grandchildren a lot more precious than your children was, and some of you can say amen to that. I know that you know that's the truth. It's because we appreciate them more, and we think about what they've got facing them. And I'll tell you today, and I'm so glad for Brother Roy and the work he's doing. If it's not done by the children, folks, it's not going to be done. Amen. And I'm thank God for the young people that was here last night and the work that they're doing right here, and not just here, but everywhere. But I want to speak to this morning to, as Paul was speaking to the elders of the church. I want to speak mostly to the pastors to begin with. When Paul said here, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Folks, the church of God is a precious thing.
Yes, sir.
It was purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and that's what makes it precious. It's not just an organization.
Right.
It's not a social club.
Right.
And sometimes we treat it like that. But folks, it's a precious thing because it's precious in God's eyes.
Amen.
And when it's precious in His eyes, it's precious in my eyes and your eyes and should be to the world. I heard someone said they saw a sign over here a few years ago that said, you hate the church, we do too. And it was a church that had put up the sign. If they hate the church, then they hate what God loves.
Yeah, right.
And I believe in a sense they do. They hate what God loves because God does love His church. He loves His people. He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus gave His blood, His complete blood. And by the way, it was divine blood. There shouldn't be any question about that in our minds. So I want to talk to the pastors for a little while this morning. And I want to tell you that we need to realize who we're preaching to when we bring the Word of God to the people. It's a church purchased with the blood, as Paul said here. Now, Jesus told Peter three times, feed my lambs or feed my sheep. So he was telling Peter that it's important. It's more important than things of this life. So I want to tell the preachers, be careful what you feed the flock. We're living in a day now that people don't want to really hear the Word. But what is the Word? John said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if you don't want to hear the true Word of God, then you don't want to hear from God. So we need to be somewhere else, Brother John, if we don't want to hear from God. But I thank God there's still some people that wants to hear about the blood of Jesus Christ. Not everybody's taking it out of their songbooks. Not every preacher's taking it out of his vocabulary. It's still the blood of Jesus Christ that saves people. Those 38 people, it was, praise God for that. I tell you, it's hard to stand still when you think about 38 people. And now, I was raised in a time when we people got saved and we baptized in Sugar Creek. And it was bigger than it was then, but I seen that thing just about not dry during some baptisms from people that got saved in the church services. But those times are about gone, Brother Roy. And I wish that my grandchildren, my great grandchildren, could see this. And they can. I hope they do see this one more time. But Paul here talks about how important that it is. Listen, there's nothing. Like the Word of God. There's nothing that'll match it. Why? Because it is God. And we need to remember that. I was thinking of what people try to get fed today. And I thought about a story, and it's a little bit, it wasn't just a story, it was a true happening. Years ago, when I was younger, and I used to be, and you did too, But I heard a man talking about the time it got hard. There wasn't any hay. There'd been a drought, and so this man bought up. He had baled a bunch of sagegrass, and some of you Arkansasers and maybe some Missourians and different people, so maybe even some folks from Oklahoma know what sagegrass is. It's the most worthless grass that there is. And if you don't put any fertilizer on your place, you'll have plenty of sagegrass. So don't worry. If you want sagegrass, just don't fertilize. But this farmer, he had a bunch of sagegrass baled up, and he salted it down, and he fed it to his cows to keep them from starving to death. And I thought, how much like that is today, what we see and hear from the preaching. And I don't go a lot of places anymore and hear a lot of preaching, but I know there's some good preaching, and there's some that's not so good. But I thought of this story and how this man fed the sagegrass to save his cattle. Now, sagegrass would tickle going down, just like some stories that you'll hear from the pulpit will tickle as it goes down. And the sagegrass would keep them warm. But that's just about all it'd do. And cattle died, and I'm afraid we're losing people today. We're losing Christians today. We're even losing preachers today because they're abandoning the Word of God. But the worst thing about this story, that the cattle, even if they live, the old mama cows, they didn't have enough protein, enough good things, and they didn't give any milk. And so we lost a crop of calves. And you know, we're losing young people today. We're losing some people that we can't afford to lose, Brother Lonnie. It's our future. It's what's going to be the church of today and tomorrow. If we have a church, I wonder if let's go a little bit forward with this. I think Paul was looking forward because he knew his time was about up. Now I know that my time's about up, and some of you others, I see that you have gray hair or not so much hair, and so I know that you're getting older, and we're just not going to be here a long time. But I wonder how much longer the preaching. It may not go on even as long as I do. I don't know the true Word of God being preached as a whole. Now listen, I believe we've just about seen the apex of the preaching, the true preaching of the true Word of God. I'm just amazed. Sometimes I'm like the old prophet Elijah. I'm amazed that there's as many people standing because if you look around, there's so many people that have abandoned. Now listen, we've lost some young preachers, and we've lost some older preachers that have went astray. And notice what Paul said here. Now he said, "You feed the church of God which you purchased with his own blood." For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolf. Now, he didn't say, I think. And he didn't say possible. But he said, I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and not sparing the flock. Now, why did Paul say this? I believe Paul knew that as long as he was there, he was going to keep the wolves out. Now, listen, if you're a true pastor, the sheep are important to you. You'll give your life for the sheep if you're a real pastor. I think of David. Boy, there was no shepherd like David. I've never heard of another shepherd like David. He'd face a bear and he'd face a lion. Why? It wasn't because that somebody hired him to keep the sheep. They were his sheep. And he was willing to die for those sheep. He was willing to give his life for those sheep, and he did stand up, and God delivered him. But he said here that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. I thought of what Brother Jerry said last night about the people, about the preachers and different people, that they'll come to you as sheep, but inwardly they're as ravening wolves, the Bible says. They're sheep in wolf's clothing, and boy, they look good. And they even sound good. They've learned to buy like a sheep does. But they're not sheep, they're wolves. And we see what has happened because of it. But I want to go on here. He said, also of your own selves shall men arise. Here's some that's going to come up in the church. People that sit beside you on the pews. People that worship with you and tell you how much they love you. He said, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. How sad it is that we'll have people come up, even those that sit among us, and some of those that worship with us, Brother Fox, and they'll say they love the Lord, and they'll tell you how much they love you, but he said that they're going to draw away disciples after them, and this is sad, because this is the church of God. He said, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. What a sad thing that it is. What a sad time that we live in. Now I want to talk to the people just a little bit. I've bashed the preachers. Let's work on the people in the pews. Thought you had it made, but you haven't yet. I want to know what you're feeding on. Only the pure, unadulterated Word of God. That's all that's going to stand in the end. That's all that's going to. That's what I'm depending on getting me to heaven. My grandpa, I believe my grandpa's in heaven. I believe my dad's in heaven, and my mom's in heaven, and they believe the word. They might not have understood it just exactly like I do, but I think they believed it. I believe God's revealing some things in the last days to us, and I don't believe in any new revelation, but I believe that we've got the word of God here. I believe that we've got the pure word of God. And preachers, again, we're commanded to preach the word. What did Paul tell Timothy? He said, preach the word. He preached the word. And then he said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering. After he said, I thought of this, Brother Johnny spoke a while ago about being instant in season and out of season. I've had people pull that old gun on me. You be instant in season and out of season. And I said, yeah, but take the rest of the verse. Reprove, rebuke, with all long, and exhort with all long suffering. Now, people want you to be instant in season and out of season, but they don't want you to preach to them. Go figure. So pastors, what are you feeding? Are you like the farmer that's feeding sage grass? Or have you really sacrificed? And it's a real sacrifice. I've seen my daddy, when he didn't have the money to buy fertilizer and put on the field so the cows have grass, because he knew those young ones would need some milk. And he knew that's the only way to get. Listen, there's going to have to be some sacrifice made. A preacher some time back, and I don't remember who it was, doesn't matter. But he said there's no fire because there's no sacrifice. God never sent fire till there was a sacrifice on the altar. And that's true today. We don't see much sacrifice, so we don't see much fire. When true sacrifice is made, and I believe there was some made in Louisiana when these 38 got saved, somebody sacrificed so that the fire could come down. There was a real sacrifice here. But God's called, listen, God's called the flock to follow. He's called the preachers to preach. Then he's called the flock to follow.
Yes, sir.
It's a two-way street here. So there's a lot of take heeds in the Bible. And I'm not going to preach on all 68 of them. Don't get worried. But I want to touch on just a few. In Mark, the 4th chapter and the 24th verse, Jesus said, take heed what you hear. The people in the pew need to take heed.
Amen.
What you hear.
Amen.
If you go to a church, or if you turn on the TV, whatever, however you get your messages, I sure don't get many off the TV. I don't find many there that's fit to listen to, Brother Mike.
Amen.
But if you hear a preacher say, now, you don't read your Bible, first red flag needs to come up. And then he'll say, I'll tell you what it means. Now, you may think that I'm making this up, but I'm not, folks. I've had people tell me. Our pastor told us not to read the Bible. We couldn't understand it anyway. So he'll tell you what it means. He's feeding you sage grass. You better be careful. And if that's what it says, I'd be, just between me and you, I'd be hunting another church.
Amen.
And that's whatever it's worth. And by the way, there's still some there in Louisiana, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Missouri, and I believe about any other state that you want to go to, I believe you can find one if you hunt.
Amen.
They're still preaching the Word.
Yes, sir.
I've heard it all my life. 73 years I've been listening to preaching. And it's all come from here. Hadn't any of it come from Reader's Digest. But perverse things. Some are, you know. I thought when I read this about the perverse things. I thought of, and that's in the 30th verse, speaking of perverse things. I thought about the ice cream truck with the bells on it. And of course, that's one of my favorite too. I like ice cream. Can't have it much anymore, but I like it. I thought of the commercial where you see the ice cream truck go by and this grown man takes off running down the street after the ice cream truck. Folks, if you want to build a church, if you want to build a big church, and don't care what you preach, you'll have folks come. If you're preaching the Word, if you're preaching the truth, if you've got five people coming, hang in there.
Amen.
Hang in there.
Amen.
And just keep a preaching. If you're going to a church where the preacher preaches the truth, hang in there. Pray for it. You know, I seen something here a while back that tickled me, and I can't remember it. I'm getting where I can't remember anything, but that's all right. I still remember Jesus, and He remembers me, and that's what's important. I don't even remember what I was going to say now. It'll come back to me later, yeah. Yeah. During service tonight, it'll come back, yeah. Thank you, Brother Jerry. You're a big help. But it's easy, you know. Just if you don't take your Bible to church, how are you gonna get to heaven? If you don't take it home with you, how are you gonna get to heaven? This is my roadmap. This is how I know where I'm going. It's how I know where I'm going. Oh yeah, now I remember. Thank you. Somebody said if you don't like your preacher, pray for him. He'll preach himself to death. And there was a lot more to that, but I don't remember it. But read your Bible. Get it down and really, I mean, don't just read it to try to read it through. You get it down and read it. If you don't get but one verse a day, get into it. Really study it for what it says. Read the fine print. You know, I get tickled at people. You know, they'll put their name on a dotted line and then things don't turn out like they ought to, and they'll say, well, what's this? This is wrong. They say, no, you didn't read the fine print. Folks, we need to get to reading the fine print. I'm tired of people that'll take a verse of Scripture and say that, you know, God loves everybody and there's going to be no judgment because God loves everybody. Well, you know, they just hadn't read the fine print. God does love everybody, but He also loves for us to be holy. And there's going to be nobody in heaven that's not living holy. And I know we're human. I've heard that preached too. And I know that we are, but I want to turn back to the 21st chapter of the book of Luke and read just a few verses. And I'll not keep you very long because I know everybody's hungry as I am. But in the 34th verse of the 21st chapter of the book of St. Luke, I'm going to start there, read just a few verses. Take heed to yourselves. Here's another take heed. And again, I'm not going to preach all 68 of them, but I want you to listen to this. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. Now, surfeiting here simply means, according to Noah Webster, means overeating. Gluttony, you know, and boy, it got quiet. And I tend to be quiet there, too, when it's preached. You know, I like to eat. But now you have to remember that these, and I don't want to get gross, but these people would eat in this day until they couldn't eat anymore. And then they'd go stick their finger down their throat and they'd eat again just for the sake of eating. Folks, it's taken over their lives. Anything that would, and I think Paul would say here, or Jesus would say, anything that takes over your life, anything that becomes more important to you than God is a God to you.
Sure.
But surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day, what day? The day of the Lord, come upon you unawares. Whereas a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Now here's the verse I wanted to get to. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now the word here that I wanted to get to was the word accounted. Accounted worthy. I pray every day, Lord, I want to be worthy.
Sure.
But I'm not worthy, Brother Allen.
Right.
I'm not worthy, and neither are you, by the way. But we're counted worthy by the blood, by the Lonnie Burks. By the blood of the Savior, we're accounted worthy. Oh, Brother Fox, I'm so glad that God accounted me worthy. I don't know why He did, but He did. He is to be praised for that, by the way. We don't need to take that for granted. Another take heed was in Matthew 24:4. Take heed that no man deceive you. Now, Jesus said that several times in the Scriptures, that no man take heed that no man deceive you. Regardless, we've got deceivers in our midst today. We've got people preaching things that sound good. You know, I don't think God's people ought to be sick either, but they are. I don't think God's people ought to be poor, but I am. I don't think God's people ought to ever have a problem, but we do. And I don't believe that people that preach that, I don't believe they've read their Bible. I take some of my folks to the Bible and tell them, show them that people were sick in the Bible. Godly people. Paul had a problem, didn't he? He had a problem in the flesh, but God said, my grace is sufficient. Sometimes God wants to teach us a lesson. Sometimes God wants to teach everybody else a lesson and use us for an example. That's kind of tough sometimes, but it's Him. It's God. It's not me. He's still working on me. And I believe over in the book of 1 Timothy, I want to go there for just a moment's time. In the 4th chapter and the 16th verse, Paul told Timothy, notice what he said, take heed unto thyself. Here's another take heed. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Some people say doctrine is not important. Was to Paul. Paul told Timothy, take heed to it. Watch out. Be careful of the doctrine. Now, what is the doctrine? I believe it's simply the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that if we'll go to the book of Genesis, or if we go to the book of Revelation, or if we go anywhere in between, we'll find Jesus. I believe that. Genesis is simply the book of the beginning. Well, John said in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And if you go to the book of Revelation, what? Now, some people don't even know this. Some church people don't even know this. But do you know what the book of Revelation really is? It's a revealing. What revelation means is a revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. So from Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Him.
Amen.
Not any about me.
Amen.
It's not even any about Brother Jerry Sadler. Just thank the Lord for the message he brought last night. And I thank God for Brother Randy that brought a good one. He told me this morning, saw him, and he was eating breakfast, and we were eating breakfast, and he said, you'll just have to clean up after me. Well, I don't have anything to clean up, Brother Randy. You just simply preach the Word. Isn't it great that we can get together and just preach the Word and either enjoy it or, in this case, endure it? but he said, take heed unto the doctrine. And then he said, continue. Continue in them. It's not a part-time thing. Brother Randy said he's a part-time pastor. No, you're a full-time pastor with a part-time job. It's just 8 hours a day. The pastoring's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I've been on both sides. I've been full time, and then I've been full time with a part time job also. And folks, he said this morning, you know, sometimes people think that a pastor don't have anything to do but just preach. My. They need to preach a while. They find out, but they need to pastor a while. That might be true for a preacher, but it's not true for a pastor, especially if he's a true pastor. But Paul said, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I'm so glad for good pastors. I've known some dandies in my life. I've had some dandies in my life. I really have. I've had some of the best pastors that ever was, and I've followed some that and looked up to them, like Brother Lonnie and Brother Mike and these that have given their life for the gospel. It amazes me when I see what God can do through men that will really give themselves to the Lord. And I want to do that. I want to do that more every day. And I want to do it more than I ever have. But take heed that no man deceive you. Be careful. And Paul knew here that when he left that the wolves were going to come in. And then in Luke, the 12th chapter and the 15th verse, we find another take heed. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. I think that needs to be preached more today than probably ever in my lifetime. And I'm older than most of you. I think he had Brother Roy come just so I wouldn't be the oldest one here. And Brother Roy is just a little bit older than me, not a lot. But the covetousness has crept in from the pulpit to the pew.
Sure.
We see preachers that's covetous. If they just own up to it. And we see people that's covetous. You know, as I said before, anything you put between you and the Lord, that's a god to you.
Amen.
And the Lord's not pleased with that. And you know, I've said many times that you don't have to be rich. Jesus said that if you wanted to be rich, those that would be rich, that's the one he was worried about, the ones that would be rich. If you just got a dime and you hold it up close enough, you can't see anything else. Did you know that? You just hold a dime up if you got one. And you get close enough, you can't see anything else. And that's the way it is with anything in this life. If we're a covetous person, whatever we have stands between us and the one that died for us. Now you think about that.
Yes.
You think about that. Jesus died for you.
Amen.
Why wouldn't you want to live for him?
Amen.
Why wouldn't you want to give your life for the one that literally gave his life for you? He just stretched out on the cross and gave it all for you, and all he wants to do for you. For you to do is just live for him. Live for him. He was willing to die for you so that you could live for him. My, I've never got over that. But just take up our cross daily. You know, you can't. When you're carrying a cross, you can't carry a lot of everything else. You don't. If you really care, if you're really, and he said, take it up daily. Some people like to take it up once a week. Some people even take it three times a week. But Jesus said, take up your cross daily. That means every day, 365 days a year. It's not a raincoat that you wear during the rain. It's a robe that you put on to wear for a lifetime. And I thank the Lord that it's good. You know, I think Job had the right idea. Now, Job was a rich man. There's nothing wrong with being rich. God's blessed you with it. If you give it back to him. But Job said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's how we ought to esteem the Word of God. If it was, I'm speaking to myself, if God's Word was more important than the beans and potatoes that I have, folks, I'd see a lot more done in my lifetime. And I believe so would you. And I'm not looking, I don't know you, but the Lord does. Thank God for that. So, pastors and preachers, when you preach, just preach Jesus. Some people say, well, you know, I don't know. I've run out of anything to preach. Preach Jesus.
Yeah.
Try it again. It'll still work. And if it worked last Sunday, it'll work again this Sunday. But in Luke, well, I don't believe I'll go there. But in Acts 20 and 27, Paul said, I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Paul didn't leave anything out. He said, I've declared it all. Boy, how good it would be to be able at the end of my life to say that I've declared all the counsel of God. What is all the counsel of God? I believe it's every word in this precious book. I believe it from Genesis to Revelation, everything in between. There's no mistakes in it. Brother Roy, we don't need another version. Just need to believe this one. And need to live this one. And try to live a holy life. As I know Brother Jerry made it hard for us. He said we couldn't live a holy life, and we can't on our own. But through Jesus Christ. Him that's within us is holy. He that directs our lives is holy. And I believe I'll just stop here today. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to come. Boy, what a blessing and what an opportunity God has given us to preach in this place. It's more than an honor. And I want to thank the Oak Lane Church, and I know I have in the past, but I just want to thank them again for the opportunity that you've given us to come this way. It's a real blessing. I'd probably never seen Brother Roy Helms if it had not been. Well, I have too. I've seen him in Smoky Mountains when he had the camp meeting down there. What a blessing Brother Lonnie's been to me and helped steer me to men like this. Oak Lane, I know it's a hard job put on a camp meeting like this, but listen, it's worth it. If one soul saved, and I believe there has been, I believe there's been souls saved in this place. It's worth all your effort. As hard a job as it is, it's worth it. So you pray for me, I'll pray for you. And Brother Mike, if you'll come and I'll, whatever you want to do, I'll just turn the service back to you.
Please stand together, please.